Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper today an author whose debut middle grade novel has already made a great impact, and I am so proud to have her on the program. Danielle Clayton is not just an author, she is also the CEO of a nonprofit group called We Need Diverse Books. This is exactly the type of organization that I had been looking for from the time that I started Joy on Paper 7 years ago. So I'm so happy to welcome Danielle Clayton to Joy on Paper. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, this is wonderful. And of course, you are such a talented author. And the new book, I'm always excited for middle grade books because I know I'm already planning for my summer program. I want to really get kids out there and reading. I'm going to be giving away a lot of books. I'm going to have some children here in the studio to talk about the authors that they love. So it's always exciting for me to be around children and to be able to help promote books. So tell us about this new book, The Marvelers.
Yes, I'm so excited. The Marvelers is the future of magic school. It is set in our world, but in our world, there are people called the Marvelers who have left the non-magical world and they live above in the skies. They have three cities and a school, and they believe that every magical person is born with a light inside of them. That is their marvel, something that's marvelous about them. And then there's this other group called the Conjurers, and they still live down with the non-magical people. They get to visit the Marveler cities and everything, but they can't come to the same school because their magic is deemed different and strange. And so this story follows the first Conjure student ever to be allowed into the Arcanum Institute, and it's her adventures and how she tries to come into this new community when there's so much tension between the two magical groups.
Well, it is a beautiful book. Obviously, the publishers love you for many reasons because you are in the publishing world. But boy, oh boy, they pulled out all the stops with the design of the cover, the design of the book, the end plates. I love it. I was just enthralled. When you open the book, right here on the end place, you have this wonderful illustration. It must have just blown you away when they did this.
Absolutely. They made it into a book that I would have devoured as a kid. It's both beautiful, and there are hidden documents and maps. There's a second map inside the book as well, and so many things for a young reader to hunt and find. So it really feels like an experience, not just a regular book. Like, you feel immersed because of all the art inside of the book and the design.
Well, that's what I love when publishers treat kids to really top quality books, because I think it's important that they have this in their hands. They feel the lovely paper. They see these beautiful illustrations. And as you said, all these little hidden things that are along the way. I think just the production value alone is great. And then, well, now we'll talk about your writing, because wow, you are an amazing writer.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate it.
Of course, this is your first middle grade, right? But you are already a New York Times bestselling author. So you sort of approach this with a lot of experience behind you. But you had a lot of work here to do to really do some world building.
I definitely did. I write for young adults. I write for teenagers. They're often grumpy and fussy and frustrated and angsty. And I decided to write for younger kids, for upper elementary and middle school this time around, because I'm also, by training, a middle school and elementary school librarian. So this book is really for my students. I was inspired by them to give them a universe where to feel seen. And I had to build a world where all of my students I taught in New York City could have a place to call home, because New Yorkers are from all over the world and have heritages from all over the place. And so I wanted to make sure that this world encompassed them, everyone. So I had to world build.
Well, you did. You did. I was wondering, how did you do this? Did you use a Scrivener for this?
No, I don't trust Scrivener. I mean, I use Scrivener for some things, but I am old-fashioned. I actually handwrite many of my first drafts, and then I use, you know, my computer. But I also use an instrument called a free write.
Well, I am so glad that you say that you still write things by hand because, you know, sometimes I will, well, I used to until the pandemic, I used to go around and talk to a lot of groups of children about books, and I would talk about writing, and sometimes a kid would say to me, well, when I get a computer, a really good computer, I'll write, I'm going to get a Mac computer, then I'll be able to, I said, no, no. I said, you know, I can tell you for thousands of years, you know, writers didn't need anything. And all you need is a piece of paper and a pencil and let it flow. Just write it all out. And later on, you can get it on a computer. But just write like crazy.
Exactly. And I believe that writing by hand for me helps me connect with the story because I have to slow down. I have to think really deeply. And so all you need is pen and paper or pencil and paper and your imagination to make a story. So I don't want to hear those excuses from the kids saying, I can't write, I don't have a computer.
Oh, that's great. That's a librarian talk. You know, for me, a librarian, when I came upon my first librarian, I thought she was a goddess. I will never forget it. I was just starting third grade. We moved to Detroit from the country. We'd been living out in a farm, and we moved to Detroit, and it was my first library. And I walked in, and of course, I was in awe. In Detroit, one of these old, beautiful buildings, all marble and oak and everything so gorgeous, and a children's reading room. And there was a librarian standing there, and she was wearing a shirtwaist dress. And I looked at her, and I thought she was a goddess. Really, I thought she came down from heaven just to give me this wonderful joy of books.
I love that. Librarians, to me, are the lighthouses for young people. They are the reminders that they're in this the rough waters that is this human experience as we're growing up, that they're there. You know, they are to bring you the books that you need to survive and to thrive. And so I love being a librarian. I love working with young people. My librarian made my imagination. So without librarians, I don't know where I'd be.
Well, me too, because it changed my life. And I remember the day I walked in, I was so scared because, you know, having lived, you know, on a farm, you come to the city anyway, everything's scary. But to be in this room, this magnificent room with marble floors and oak bookshelves all around the room, I said, very softly, where should I start? And she said, well, it's in alphabetical order. And I wasn't even sure what alphabetical order meant. But she pointed, and I literally started at A, and I went around over the next, 2 years it took me to go around all the way to Z. And I got stuck for a long time there on Alcott. And so there I got really stuck. And then when I got to Austin, that was where I stopped for a long time. And so, you know, it's just wonderful what a library can do for a kid.
For sure. And when you feel reflected on the shelves and you can go in and get book after book after book that reflects your experience, that's the goal for me. That's why I'm a writer. I want to make sure that no kid is left behind, that they all get to walk in and see as many reflections of themselves as they want and windows into other people's experiences and other people's magic and mischief. So the library is my favorite place in the world.
I agree. As a matter of fact, I always had this hope that somehow I would save the mayor of Detroit's life. He would be, you know, almost hit by a bus or something, and I'd save his life, and then the only reward I would want would be a key to the library.
Exactly. Unlimited access.
That's it. It's pretty thrilling, isn't it, for you now to be able to walk in and see your books on the shelf, and particularly this beautiful book.
It's awkward and strange and a dream. It's everything. It's everything I wanted to do. And I'm just hoping that, you know, kids find the books and feel seen and heard and come to call it home.
Well, I think that you are able to capture such a clear vision for the reader that you really take them into the story. As I was reading it, I was thinking so many things about how an author has this wonderful ability to take a reader on this journey if they paint the picture for them, if they, with words, just take the reader into the story and just take us and get us lost in there that we don't want to come out for a long time.
Absolutely. that's the goal. It's the dream, is to build an imagination and help build other people's imaginations and give them the tools they need to imagine and to see. That's the best part of reading.
It is. For example, even now I can close my eyes and I can imagine Ursa Minor Lounge.
Yeah,
you know, you build something like that for the reader and it stays there forever.
I love that, right? And when you really ignite a passion in a kid, especially, it becomes part of their memories. I can remember some of the first books that I read, and I'm like, oh, wow, I remember that first feeling of the Hobbit hole, right? And going into that cozy, you know, Tolkien's cozy little Hobbit hole.
Now, when you came out with the idea for this book, what was the genesis? How did it come about?
Well, at first, people told me I couldn't do it. They said, how are you going to write a magic school book when there's Harry Potter? Nobody wants another magic school book but that. And I took it as a challenge. I said, well, I love Harry and I love that universe. However, I don't feel seen by that universe. And as much as I can enjoy it and participate, there aren't characters who are main characters that look like me. And so I decided to write a space where every kid can find themselves in this universe, and it's organically there. It's not retconned. And so when I set out to do it, it was literally an endeavor of, like, people said I couldn't do it, and my mother would say, whenever anyone says no to you, you're like, I can prove you incorrect. Whenever someone says you can't do something. So I was very much inspired by my own students, but also by trying to create a universe where they would feel seen and heard.
Well, I think it's brilliant what you've done here. For me, boy, oh boy, you did it. And you created something unique, something inspiring. I think it's very inspiring for children. And there's just little areas that I would stop and I would marvel at your writing. I loved, for example, again, we're back in the lounge of Ursa Minor, and where she says, I'm a paragon of taste with a tea marvel, dearies. British specifically, but the pot can brew you any kind you like in an instant. And, you know, I lived in England for a long time. And so I just got such a kick out of just that line alone. I thought, that's so clever. That's so smart. You just put me right there with this character, with the people, with the kids in the lounge. I think it's just wonderful writing.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yes, and I lived in England, too, and I love tea, and I wanted to do a little shout-out to my British readers there. And, you know, little Easter eggs there about places I've lived and people I've, you know, interacted with and fans that I adore. So,
well, I noticed that. I didn't know that you had lived in England like I did. I went to England because of Jane Austen. At the age of 11, I decided that I was going to move to England to live near where Jane was born. And by the time I was 21, I had saved $25,000 American dollars. I worked three jobs all the way through school. And I went to England and I bought a cottage in Sonning near Henley.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, a 400-year-old cottage.
That's so amazing.
So I'd be near where Jane was born. So you also lived in England.
I did. I studied abroad there when I was in college. And I usually go for 2 to 3 months out of every year. Pre-pandemic.
I know.
And it's just like a second home to me. I love it so very much.
Oh, so do I. I was actually planning to go, my son was going to go to Cambridge, but of course everything was canceled because of the pandemic, and so I didn't get to go, but oh, to go back, to go to Harrods, Fortnum & Mason's, oh my gosh.
Exactly.
I think you're younger, so... Was the British Museum reading room open, or was it already closed by the time you got there?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it was probably closed.
Before the pandemic, I'm like...
Yeah.
I was there in, actually, 2004.
It would have been closed. They closed it down. The reading room was where I used to spend hundreds of hours doing research. Going to England, I think, that's what I picked up on. I had no idea that you studied in England, but I picked up on all these little nuances that you have in the book, which I think just added to my joy.
I love that. And that's what I want for readers. I really want there to feel like there's so much more to discover in a reread, right? Because I think middle grade books have to stand up for rereads because kids fall in love and they want to reread their favorite book.
Oh, that's true. You know, they really do.
Boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
They reread it doubly clearly until it falls apart. And so this is why you have to leave those Easter eggs for that kid to discover upon their second read.
As a librarian, you know that. That's so important. And
yes.
I know that the kids, I'm sure, are just marveling at the marvels because it is a great, the whole premise, how you started off, the idea of it is great. And I agree that there's always, you know, there's always room for another great book.
I love that. Thank you for saying it because, you know, sometimes the world will make you feel like there isn't.
Oh, I know. I know. And I want to talk a little bit about this whole idea of we need diverse books, because this is something, when I first started this program, I didn't understand the whole concept of publishing. So I didn't realize sort of that there wasn't the diversification that I expected. So I was so happy. All of the diverse books that I'm getting nowadays, even in the 7 years since I started this program, I'm getting such a wonderful wide range of books. And it really thrills me because I'm interested in cultures from around the world. And so that I'm now getting these books and that the kids can see themselves as characters in these books, I think is wonderful.
I'm so glad to start. Yes, so I help run an organization called We Need Diverse Books. And we launched in 2014 because we were concerned and upset that the books on the shelf didn't reflect all readers. And so we set out to make sure to help with many different programs to ensure that every kid can walk into their classroom, walk into a bookstore, walk into their library and see themselves reflected back and also see windows into other people's experiences. And to know that they can be the hero of a story. And we work with parents, teachers, educators, librarians, up-and-coming writers, and publishers themselves to help get at that goal.
Well, now, of course, with this book, this is the first of the series, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So far?
I'm sure you're on the second book already?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm on the second book already.
And then you have the fun of working with everybody involved in the publication of the book, and including they really got some great illustrators for you. I love the drawings. I love this one at the end. It's called Wanted. I love that. That's so beautiful. And of course, the nice thing I always like to see the acknowledgments that people write, because there is so much that goes into writing a book, and you really, sometimes people don't appreciate what an author has to do. Now, it's not just finishing the book, right? A lot of the work starts after you finish writing the book.
Absolutely. It's a long journey. It's a long, long journey to get a book from start to finish, and it takes a village and a team. And I got really lucky that Macmillan Publishing has just put so much love. They made the book look beautiful. They've gotten it out to great people like yourself. And now I get to see how the readers feel, and the readers get to call it their own now. But yes, the acknowledgments are full of people who helped me get where I am, helped me with my meltdowns, helped the book look beautiful, helped us get to this day.
Well, it's an exciting thing to happen to an author, to come out with an idea and then to go through this whole process and finally to be there. And nowadays, isn't it wonderful? You can actually have real book signings with real people.
Yes, it is still feels a little stressful, but yes, we're coming back. It's good.
It's nice. And I'm sure the kids get so excited to meet you, because a great writer really can inspire children in so many ways, to follow their dreams, to believe in themselves, to have hope.
Yes, to have hope and to know that everything's going to be okay.
Exactly. And that's what you've done with this book. I think it's beautiful. As you said, just blessed with a wonderful publisher. They always do a great job. But with this one, with all the little things that they've added to it, the headings, the illustrations, they've really gone whole hog with you and given you the very top of the line book.
They have. They've made it feel like an experience, not just reading a book. So you really feel like you are having an experience, that you're falling into a world. All of the details matter. You know, there are Easter eggs everywhere. So I feel like it can be a treat for the right reader.
It is. And I know that, for example, I went back, I don't know why, three times, I think I went back to the level one trainee timetable. Somehow I like to imagine myself at level, you know, I'm ready to go. I want to be a trainee. I just love that. I thought it's just so clever and I love it. I looked at it and I want to become a trainee because it's a book that really calls the reader in, jump in this book and have fun and go with it. And you've done a beautiful job. So I'm very, very happy that, you know, you came on Joy on Paper. What does your family think? They must be pretty thrilled.
Yes. My parents are like, wow, you did it. You're doing it, you know, because I kept talking about it. They saw me working so hard. And so I think them seeing it come to fruition is exciting, especially my dad, because he's a bookworm and he loves books.
Well, they have to be very, very proud of you. And I'm very proud that you are on Joy on Paper today because I think this is the beginning of a great long-running series that kids will enjoy, that will bring a lot of happiness to them. And as I said, that hope that all kids need, that things can be good, things can work out. And in your case, you have proven that by hard work and by sticking to it, you've become a major, major author and somebody that can now really shine a light on diversity and also just shine a light on just having plain old fun reading a book.
Exactly. And thank you so much for having me.
Let's just give your webpage, social media. Where can people find you?
Sure. You can find me on all social media at Brown Bookworm. And if you're interested in learning more about The Marvelers, you can head over to themarvelersseries.com and get lots of extra content and exciting things in the coming weeks.
Okay, and so it's marvelersseries.com, themarvelersseries.com. And Danielle, I love your name, the spelling of your name. Most people can't imagine it unless I spell it out, so I'm going to spell it D-H-O-N-I-E-L-L-E, Danielle Clayton. And that is a name that is going to be very famous. And I love the name Danielle. I think it's beautiful.
Thank you so much. I'll tell my dad, who I always thought was weird for naming me this.
Well, no, I think it's distinctive. I don't think there are many Danielles. And you will certainly be, once people see it, they'll never forget it. And I think it goes along with you. You're beautiful. And somehow it suits you just perfectly.
I appreciate it very much.
Okay. Well, a special hello to your parents, because I know that they are very, very proud of you right now with all of this wonderful publicity you're getting for The Marvelers, because you must have been a pretty marvelous kid.
Yeah, I was not too bad. A little bit of a sourpuss, but stayed out of trouble.
Okay. Well, it was great talking to you. And you'll be back as soon as you finish editing this. You know, get hopping. Girl, I'm sure that they want you to have the next book released soon.
Yes, time to get going.
That's it. They don't want too much time between the books because you want to roll them up. And the kids, that's the wonderful thing about kids. When they want a book, they want a book. So
thank you.
Okay, so I'll have you back on Joy on Paper soon, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So bye-bye now. Bye. Okay, Danielle Clayton. D-H-O-N-I-E-L-L-E. That's a beautiful name. Danielle. Okay, we'll be back